Hi everyone, you're listening to the Via Luce podcast, uncensored and completely unedited discussions about life and everything in it. We hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, I just thought of something where you drink in your coffee.
Hi everyone.
Hiya.
Hi.
Oh, I went to get a coffee around the corner and then somebody went, so I stood waiting and they were, oh, it's annoying because there's one person making them, which is 2 minutes apiece, and there's one person taking the money. You need two people making the coffee. That's way out of whack. And there's like five people waiting to pay, and they're going, yeah, what do you want? Yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. And what do you want? Thinking, no, don't get all our money because you know we're going to leave. But as you're going down the list, and I'm having to go, can I have a, because there's four people in the side, and they're just going, no, just get the money.
You want me to make it myself, you know?
Yeah, and the other girl was just making, I thought, no, I feel like I want to walk out now just to let you see me, but he's trying to get all the money from all the people. Rather than get somebody else to serve.
Yeah.
I worked in this cafe, and they put me on the coffees, and I was so bad. They had so many complaints.
Making them.
Yeah. And like, I do my best, but I just never really got it with the cafe.
Is it not fairly straightforward? I thought everything's machines.
No, because there is an art, there's a skill to it. And like, eventually they just took me off it.
It's just not for you.
Yeah,
wrong? Were you sort of giving them Pepsi instead of...
They said the milk was burnt. They said it was cold. Oh, they said it was either the milk was burnt or it was cold.
Oh dear.
They said that it hadn't been done properly, that it was too much froth, not enough froth on their cappuccino. They're like, my cappuccino is all froth.
Right.
I'm like, that's what a cappuccino is.
My leaf doesn't look like a leaf.
That's why you shouldn't drink cappuccinos, because there's nothing there.
Oh, that was going to say.
It's like foam.
Yeah, so when I was in, I was waiting for the coffee, and she went, cappuccino something, and somebody came to the side of me, and I thought, out the corner of my eye, it looks like a kid, but I can only see his head, and I thought, right, I can't look, because it might be somebody that's just... Like, I can't just go like that and look at them because it's too weird. And I thought, I'm sure that's a kid. And I thought, but it might just be a little fella or something like that. Because he was quite stable. I thought a kid would move around a lot. But I'm just...
And what's a kid doing in buying Soho?
Because
he was 9 in the morning.
They had the little things.
He's had a hard life.
Yeah, he was putting little things on or whatever. And then I thought, so I'm going to look. So I just turned around. It was a kid. I'm not kidding you. Must have been 10. I thought it's illegal.
When was the first time you had coffee and tea when you were younger?
Oh, I didn't have any. Are you joking?
No, I can't remember.
Tea, I don't know, 8 or 9.
No.
Yeah.
I must have been in my 20s.
Like tea? Like tea's nothing.
No,
like,
God, no.
Coffee? I was always offered it.
I didn't drink water until I was about 25.
I was always offered it, but I never necessarily liked it.
But is that not illegal? I just assumed that caffeine. No, it must be, because in Tesco's, when you buy the thing, you have to get the 16-year-old in Tesco's. It comes up if you try and scan an energy drink.
I think that it does get... I think some things get flagged, but I'm not necessarily sure it's illegal because...
Energy drinks,
like,
coffee.
Oh, I had energy drinks literally every single night from, like, I think I was like 10 years old. My mum didn't realise that I had a load of caffeine in it. And I would
That's all it does, her, do.
I mean, it's in the name.
I didn't realise cigarettes had nicotine in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just be there, like, smoking and drinking. She'd be like, oh, God. No, yeah, she would go down and get me a V energy drink, you know, the ones in the green. And every single night, me and my sister would have a V energy drink. She'd be like, God, they're a bit hyper.
Bouncing off the walls,
There's a big problem.
Really bad.
When we do a fitness podcast, the young kids have got a major problem in gyms with these energy drinks that are like 4 or 5 cups of coffee in these drinks. Everyone's drinking them. I'm seeing kids throwing up. They're like 18 and they're running around like toddlers, but they're like 18, 19, nothing. And it got worse and worse. And now everyone's got these big monster drinks, which is by the way, I mean, it happened even last night. There's a guy who's an adult drinking a monster drink. I couldn't even explain to him that the what he's drinking in the can is directly ruining his training because of the acid and things. But I thought, I can't be bothered. But they're getting high. It's not doing anything. They're just getting high. These kids are en masse are getting high in the gyms. They're all being sold. Listen, we better get to the Royals.
Hello. Right, so we're here to discuss British Royals family.
We'll,
there we go.
Press record, mate. We'll go now. Are we back on? Or are we still? Well, let's do. Right, so... fuck's sake.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I read the spare book. Yeah. You said you've read most of it.
I've read most of it. It's long.
Okay. Yeah. We're not doing a review of the book, but
how is the book that someone else wrote for him?
I don't think it you know what I realised? It's probably the best read book I've ever listened to. Mm. And I've listened to everyone.
The best read
book. Yeah. He's got a lovely voice. But no. I had to speed it up by 1.2. Because it's...
Oh,
no, I had to.
It's like him.
I had a week to read it. Listen to it. Yeah, to listen to it. And I was just like, okay, so...
It's a long book.
If I speed it up, it's now...
It's like 20 hours and you get it down to about...
Yeah, 10 hours.
It feels like cheating. But anyway... But as I was listening to it...
Sorry, such a millennial.
An audiobook, usually they sound like an audiobook. The pattern, the speech, you know somebody's reading it. And some people are better than... But usually it's always better when the person reads it themselves. But that's probably psychology. But when I was reading
Well, sometimes as well with that, you sometimes have that person's voice in your head anyway.
Yeah, you know, so it's matching what you expect.
Yeah, so I mean, Steve Coogan's done a couple of the Alan Partridge books as audiobooks, and they're great because he's doing it in character. And when I'm reading it, because I did read one of them, and I was like, when I was reading it, it was okay, it was pretty funny, but like I was reading it with his voice.
Yeah.
And then, but actually having him do it, it's like having a whole few new episodes, so it's great. Yeah.
But because I had to keep reminding myself, he hasn't done this before as well. So as it's reading and it just flows, it's the best one I've ever, in terms of just, it sounds like somebody's not reading. Like, I think that's what I mean. It just flows so easily. It sounds like he's just talking. And I think he's never done this before. Anyway, so
there was probably a lot of prep and a lot of training.
Over the years as well, like being in the public eye.
Well, but you still, when you read into a mic, you think it just changes something if you haven't done it a lot. Yes. But it doesn't. It's like when you put a camera on in front of somebody. Mm. As soon as that camera goes on.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's slightly changed. Anyway, but even last night, I forgot how well read this is. Like, it's really, it just flows like he's just thinking. That you don't get the idea of this book. Mm. Anyway, so it's called Spare. I'd seen it in the shops, and I have...
It was a big deal when it came out. It came out
January?
Yeah, all that just passed me by, because I have no interest in the Royals whatsoever, outside of just how silly it is.
The spectacle of the whole thing.
Mm. And I, because of the education, I didn't know. I don't know who's who. I didn't know what the Queen looked like or what, because I don't got TV. So I didn't know. I knew the brothers, just because people get a Meghan. But I couldn't tell you what the other one looked like, or what his missus looked like, or... Once you get to who's who, I don't know who anybody is.
It all gets a bit sketchy after you've got your main characters, and after that your supporting
artists.
Yeah. It gets a bit fuzzy about like who's
who. What I'm saying is I had zero interest but I forced myself to listen to the book because, and I think while I'm explaining it's because of the context of why I listened to it, just to say I'm not interested in one way or the other. The whole thing's a bloody joke. But everyone kept attacking him and Meghan for the last year constantly. And I thought, they can't be that bad. It's constant. Mm. But anyway, so I thought, it's probably quite interesting because everyone's on the attack, which means he's got something interesting to say. So then I just, one day I thought, right, I'd seen the book and I didn't know what spare meant. I just thought, he's extra.
Air in the spare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, why don't they call it The Spare rather than Spare? Because spare, if you don't know anything, just spare what? Until you think maybe.
But then
it
makes you intrigued to read it.
Yeah, but I just thought if he said The Spare, you'd go, oh, he's The Spare. But most people probably picked up on it, but I just didn't. But I'd seen the book for months. And then one night I thought, right, everyone's attacking him. There's got to be a reason because he doesn't come across like you'd pick up.
He was annoying, and I don't normally go with this. I don't normally say, oh, well, this group of people dislike something, therefore I must like it.
Yeah.
Or there must be something in it. But it was annoying a lot of people I don't like.
Yeah,
So it made me go, I was interested in it because I was like, it seems to be driving some people mad who I dislike intensely.
So I looked it up. I just thought, let me look at the book online. I looked it up online just to read what it said. Mm. And they had comments on there of people who have downloaded the book, apparently. And they all, you know, when you look at comments of something or reviews, they're all over the place. Two words, bit misspelled. Different lengths.
Probably, I guess, a lot of 5-star reviews and 1-star reviews.
Yeah, it was very...
there was hardly...
Yeah, it was
Either love it...
None in the middle,
Well, this one was all hate.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They're all the same length. And you could have read that it was all from... It was the same sort of cadence in the sentences and the length. Mm. And it was all well written. But it was done like... Not that people had done it, but journalists had done it. You know that sort of language where you go, that's a professionally written thing.
But they do that though, don't they? And they make Twitter pages, especially, I think it was like Megan was saying that her mum, was it her mum that made a Twitter page? And that was just writing abuse about Megan and doing hashtags, we hate Megan or something like that.
I looked down the list and it was all hate and it was all the same sort of thing. It wasn't a mess. It was all, and it made me laugh because it was always like, he's a childish idiot, this, that, the other. Oh, he shouldn't have been given a book. Oh, he's a scam. I thought, hang on. You downloaded the book, so you must have liked him to a degree.
Yeah.
You're giving him the money.
Pure hate. Because even if you didn't like it, you go, well, it was all right. I didn't read it. But no, it was like, he's a silly this. Well, he's attention seeking, money grab. And I thought, if you've downloaded the book, surely you must have been a mild of interest. But everyone, I thought, right, I've got to listen to this. Because he's obviously like, this is a clear like attack on him.
Yeah.
And like, when I listened to it, I struggled because I thought, I'm not going to know who anybody is. I don't know anyone. But I listened to it. And as I said, it's really well read. It starts, I think, does it start with the day of the funeral? Oh, I can't remember now. But
I think it was like the lead up to the time when he was told.
That was it.
That his mum, yeah.
But having gone through it, I suddenly had like I get it now. And the other thing was, I was waiting for him to be nasty. And I forgot when listening to the book, the first time I listened to it, and I got about three quarters away and I thought, he hasn't come across nasty, not even once. Like, I was waiting for it, then I forgot. But I thought, God, I haven't had any spite from him. He's not that type of person.
Well, interesting you said, I mean, I haven't read the book, I've listened to bits here and there and I've read extracts and stuff again, because it was a big, big deal when it came out. But yeah, the quotes that they picked up on, the things that they would say, oh, look at this is dreadful. Oh, because I'm reading this in Daily Mail. Yeah. Sometimes I read the Daily Mail to annoy myself, and I now read the comments.
I go straight to the comments.
Yeah. So I love a Daily Mail comment section.
The best and I literally go to the best, and then I go to the worst.
It's literally, if you just want to despair at the psyche and zeitgeist of the nation.
Oh yeah,
Daily Mail comment section never lets you down. It really
100%.
Does. What's it saying?
The comment section about
the quotes,
me.
Quotes from the book.
Comment.
Oh, yes. And the one thing that they really picked, because there wasn't any negative things that they could pick up on, really. These quotes.
Yeah, there's nothing.
They made a big deal about the army thing, where he was just like,
his kill count.
Yeah, I killed like 50 people. I tried not to think about it because they trained us in a way, because I went through army training, whatever, and this is what we're told to do, and we're told to dissociate, and I tried not to think about it.
Yeah.
Because this is my job, and that's what I was out there to do. And people took offence to that. Yeah. People were like, he's a sick, he's a psychopath. And
I'm but if he had done nothing, then they would have said, well, what was he did nothing.
He did nothing for us. Yeah. He did nothing for the country.
Well, I think that's a reasonable statement. It's like, I was doing a job. It's like saying, well, I don't think about the person. I'm a surgeon and I don't think of when someone's on the operating table, I don't really think of them as a person. I just think of them as, right, okay, there are a bunch of kidneys and bits that I need
for about 10 hours order to get nothing. Like, if they got that sick.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, if you hate someone, you pick up on everything anything they do is just not good enough.
Yeah.
So
it's an uncharitable reading.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if you've got that bit, but he gets fired with a missile. There's one bit where they come across a kid like in the road and it's like set up and it like they go to get the kid and then a missile comes flying by. So he was well in it. I mean, I think he was flying the Apache and they had to get people off a mountain and all this sort of stuff. But my point was that I had no interest in it. But when I listened to it, and this is why I tell everyone to listen to it, because you're never, I think I said this last week, you're never in your lifetime going to get somebody that's lived that type of life, because there's not many people in the world that live that type of life, that aren't going to be doing it via a PR agency, if you know what I mean, like a full-on... But what I mean is, it's not going to be like completely handled by, I think you're not going to get somebody who's out removed from that life and saying, look, this is what it was like from the start. You're never going to get, you're always going to get the PR completely.
It's like reading the book, a book or an account of someone who's maybe escaped from North Korea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're getting a look into this kind of very weird
and you have to think,
world that you don't read, that's very secretive and you don't know a lot about.
And you've got him from birth telling you everything about what, not attacking them, not even one, but just going, this is what we did.
Just laying it out.
And a lot of it is like, hang on, it's just breezed past the thing about, like, he's just going, oh, yes, we did the thing. But Yeah, there was.
Oh, they also had a thing about that he shagged some woman in a field and he was 16.
Oh, yeah.
Behind
the
pub.
Like 18.
Yeah,
or something.
Behind, yeah.
And they were like, oh, this is appalling. And I'm like,
what would have been a good thing for him to do on a bed of roses?
And they're like, and he smoked cigarettes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Like,
oh, my God. And he swore. You know, all right, cool. That's the worst you've got.
I loved Harry back in the day. I loved that he was rebellious. And you'd see him in the papers and he's coming out of a nightclub smoking and you're just weed. Smoking weed. Yeah. I was just like, yeah.
Well, that's what comes
you're relatable right
was,
now.
He was, yeah, no, yeah.
What comes across from the book is actually you realise he said the whole way through he was basically push. He wouldn't accept that his mum's dead.
Yeah.
Like for years. He was saying she's hiding because of what they've done to her. She's going to come back. Yeah. He said, but I knew, but then I couldn't for years. He said, I was making excuses. Like, she's hiding. No, but she wouldn't do that to us. Mm. But they've done it. It's the only option she's got. And when
like a defense mechanism.
Yeah, but for years.
Yeah. Like, it was shocking because didn't he see the pictures of.
Yeah, nothing.
His
not,
mum in the car.
Two brains. Yeah,
yeah, he actually saw the pictures of her in the car because he wanted to see it.
Yeah.
He wanted to see, you know, her death and be like, okay. But then that didn't really give him any answers because she looked so like peaceful, like she wasn't dead.
Yeah.
And in his head, he was just like, oh, no, okay, she's still alive.
She's
you know, she
back.
Is still alive.
Yeah. But it just, you forget as he's going through like school and like, he's still thinking, like, and he still hasn't had, he said he teared up once. That was it.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to cry. He said, he's not going to the army. He said, I've only cried briefly once.
Mm.
He hasn't really accepted it. Anyway, so the whole thing. Okay,
nice.
That was the context. Yeah. But my thing was.
Totally normal family.
But we get to the end and I realise, it really is a business. There's no family. I mean, we'll talk about it, but there's a bit where they cancel his security. He walks in the room when he's in America. And the bodyguard's on the phone saying, I can't leave them and just go. And he comes off the phone. He said, no, like a month. He said, there's no security. That's it. We've got to go. There's nothing. And the guy said to him, but you are, we know, you're the number one target for terrorism. You and the wife and your child. And he tries to get in contact with the Queen and she won't take his calls. His grandmother.
Mm.
That's the thing. Is that, look, I and not an advocate. quite the opposite. They're all family, but I think that is bullshit. I think that's a really petty, scummy move.
Because Gran, she's got the maturity. She's not like an older brother.
Because I think Liz Truss, who I think is, if we lived in a just functioning society, should be in a stock somewhere, and we can all just throw lettuces. Mm. whenever we want, you know.
A brick wrapped in a lettuce.
Yeah. Like, if we had that's the ideal thing. But, like, yeah, she should get police protection because she's a former PM. Like, you can't have her, like, on sort of video wearing an orange jumpsuit, you know, with some dude in a mask with a sword.
Yeah, because everyone knows them.
Everyone knows
their face.
They haven't got the security.
Yeah, yeah.
In the
basically like, oh, yeah, see you later.
When he's
good luck.
Going through the army, they eventually had to pull him out. After years, because they've said when they caught some guy, not the Taliban, whoever it was, they caught him, they questioned him, and they said they were basically zoning in on where he was using the media. They like they said, well, they're hills, and they were closing in. No, just from the media.
Report from an Australian publication, wasn't
that rings a bell? Actually,
I think at the time, like
it was another
country. Because this is the thing that keeps happening is that. Because I was doing a bit of reading about the woman Prince William is allegedly having an affair with.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that is only being talked about in French and German publications.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I spaced out there. Prince William had a...
He's having an affair.
He's having
apparently,
an affair.
Yeah, apparently.
Allegedly. He has a mistress, yes. Who is also a... She's, I don't know... lady something duke, married to some duke. Her son was one of the page boys with one of their kids. I can't remember which one, the oldest one, the annoying one. And yeah, they were page boys at the coronation together. Mm. And they see laughing, joking around.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh, you know, they had photos of them. So yeah, that's apparently a thing.
Apparently that's it.
Dear.
So, and the other thing, and we'll get onto it now, but when he speaks about when he's told about Diana's died, so who's his dad, Charles comes in. So bear in mind what I've just said about the Queen. So Charles comes in and he says to him, like, you know, dear boy, mum's been taken to the hospital, blah, blah. And he said, well, she'll be all right. She's gone to the hospital, so she'll be fine. No, she's gone to the hospital and blah, blah, and she's died. He only said, his hand was on my knee and he told me, and that was it. Then he left.
Yeah. He says, my darling boy.
Yeah, you just the hand was on the knee briefly. That was it. Then he left the bedroom.
Yeah.
No, your mum's dead. And then nothing.
A cuddle, you know.
He shook hands, saluted and left.
Well, he says about he never saw anybody hugging or kissing. And there was a famous thing about when his mum went travelling. Charles's mum went, the Queen. And she came back. And there's a famous photograph. I looked it up. Where after 6 months of being away, he comes off the train and she's just shaking his hand. And said, what you see in front of the camera is exactly behind. There's no... And when I came, I thought, God, it's a business. There's no family there. There's none.
That's the weird thing is, I think just from anecdote, you know, absorbing all this stuff from Meghan and Harry and stuff, is that, and I think that's what really shocked, put her on the wrong foot, put Meghan on the wrong foot. We'll get around to talk about Meghan. Yeah. Ideas about that. I don't think she's a hero. I don't think she's a villain. I think she's exaggerated some things, and you know, but she is a victim. She certainly got screwed over quite badly.
Yeah.
But like with God, I forgot what I'm talking
about. Oh no, because obviously the affection thing, obviously Meghan comes, she's obviously a lot more affectionate. She probably might have gone up to them, hugged them. That was it. Yeah.
Now back there. Okay, right. So
put your eye on
but
the
what happened is that she said she got introduced to that. There was said she got introduced to the Queen.
Yeah.
And like the senior royals, so Charles and everyone. And she was given a full crash course. Oh no! Well, this is all behind closed doors. This is in like their little private room around the back, you know. And she was like, "Oh no! You've got to curtsy and you've got to do all this and say mom and sit there very proper and not speak unless you're spoken to, you know." And she's like, "What?" And she's like, "No, but we're in the back room, you know. We're in the green room. We can just hang out. We're not with the, you know. There's no cameras. We can just relax and be ourselves, you know. Just be normal." We go,
want to give her a big cuddle.
Yeah, we'll just have a chat. And they're like, no, there is no back room. This is just this all the time.
Yeah, he actually talks about the formality. He said, now that his brother, he said, it's strange to have to sort of bow to like your immediate family. Mm-hmm. But like, it's weird. And he says like, she went along with everything. He said she spent like an hour curtsying, learning to curtsy. She did it perfect. She got it right. It's not like she came and said, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. But eventually has to stop. And you go, no, this is for real. And there's a bit where Kate is like just seems off with her for like months. Mm. And eventually they have to get together and they sit down and Kate tells her, no, I came in one day and I said like... what it was is, because it gets really bad, they have to sit down and have a conversation. And she said, well, what happened is, a few months ago, whenever it was, says I wasn't feeling too well and blah, 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 blah. And she said, oh, maybe it's just because you try the time of your month, try this and that. And she sat on that for months until she said, yeah, and I thought it was just very disrespectful of you saying that to me. And she said, but me, I just thought maybe that's what it is and try this tea or whatever it was. Because me and my girlfriend.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's the weather or something. Yeah, maybe it's maybe,
but she held on to that as the reason why she was being off with her for months. Mm. That level of, like, yeah, exactly.
Okay, fuck her. To be honest, because she's not even like...
That pretension. And she said, I had to apologise. I said, I'm so sorry. I just didn't know that was a...
It's just a normal thing. It's a woman talking to another woman being like, it might be this.
What you realise is she's not coming in as an independent woman, I'm going to do this. It's somebody that's a human being and has gone out of their way to do the curtsying and things and it just wasn't enough. Like, no, you're not bowing and...
Scraping enough.
Yeah. And you're not... inhuman enough. You're not clicking in to this robotic business. So the family thing was, that's what I came away thinking, oh my God, well, this is just
it's you're going through the motions, but you're not, I don't feel you really believe that we are the God people.
Yeah you're not, you don't believe it
you
enough.
You're going through and you're saying yes mom and not making eye contact and be very respectful, but I don't believe in your heart that you actually believe that.
Well, isn't that 1984 when he's holding up the fingers? And I can't remember when he says, when they eventually catch the guy, and say, how many fingers am I holding? Four. I go, but no, it's five. I go, but it's four. He goes, okay. And he goes, okay. Eventually go, oh, it's four. And he goes,
whatever you say it
is. He said, but you have to believe it's four. He goes, I'm telling you it's four. I go, no. And eventually crack goes, I see four. But it's just like she was going out of her way to try and do everything to please a family, not realizing this is a machine. Yeah. And it really, this is for real. So that's what I came away with. So it's obviously about him spare, and he talks about at the beginning about It's he realized at the age of 20, it's not it's not spoken as in jest that he's the spare. He's told, he uses the word, it's explicit amongst the family. He said, in case of a bone marrow transplant or blood, they have to be given, there has to be a spare person, and they're not allowed to fly on the same plane. It's not a joke. You're told you are the spare because of those things that are needed. And I think when he was told, when Diana gave birth to him, that Charles first said, thank you for giving me the spare, we're okay now. But to know that constantly through life.
From a really young age as well,
You're the backup.
You're the backup.
You're the B team. You're the reserve squad.
You've got to protect the thing.
Your place is on the bench. And that, probably not going to call
later on, when it comes about all the fake stories that have come out, it's later on in the book, and he goes through some of the major ones that you've sort of heard of, and he says, there was one where... you have to give in to the media for certain things that the upper class, the Queen and all that handle, for a certain story. And if they need a certain story, then you have to let them get away with that one so that they don't do that one. And the whole thing's like chess. But the main thing is everyone above has to be protected by the person below. So some stories came out about him because they were going to put some stories out about Will. And then they said, well, we're going to put the story out about him instead. But he has to agree that it happened, and we won't do the story about his older brother. To people to say, look, they can't say this. He say, listen, they can't attack him, so you have to let that one go. That is it. You go, what's going on here? And there was
I was going to say, but that's the thing is that you are not allowed. I mean, this is why I think that the whole thing is utterly bizarre. It's because you are not allowed. We're not allowed to discuss the royal family. Really, we're not allowed to. In the mainstream media, let's say, in the papers or on TV or whatever, not allowed to sit down and have a discussion about the structure, about whether we should, where it should be going, is it a good thing or not, is there anything we could change? They work for us. And we can get rid of them at any time. They could put a bill through Parliament tomorrow and restructure the whole thing, get rid of them. We can. We can nationalise all those properties. And we can take them. We can do anything we want.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, but the problem, they won't, because the media know they need us and we can turn it around in the day and they need us to get, they need us to, for the money and for the show, they need us. But we need them to sell stuff. And it's this constant moving of parts to say, right, we want this. Like I said to you before, like Will said, they would love me to die. Because they'd get rid of me and it'd be a great story. They could put the flags up and it'd be amazing and then we could have some more ticker tape and all that sort of stuff. But to know that...
It's so heartbreaking.
But there's one bit, it was to do with the Rebecca... Was it Rebecca? Who was the mirror? The
Waggate.
Oh, Rebecca...
Varney?
Rebecca Vardy.
Who was one that beat the husband up, didn't she? The EastEnders fella. Who was...
What, is she
She was the editor
now managing director for News UK now.
Yeah, it's something like that. She was the editor. Remember, she got in a lot of trouble.
Oh, the ginger lady.
Yeah, that's
Rebecca
Moore?
Rebecca Moore?
She went to prison, didn't she? Over phone hacking.
But she had... Yeah, that was it, the court case. But she had a vendetta against him. There's one bit. He was going through the stories of just... When you heard this is what happened. And there was one that said that Meghan... had sacked some girl and made her cry, and she'd been there for years, and she didn't care, and she was in tears, and she left. And it turns out she said no, she never actually met that girl. There was somebody sacked by the royal family for something that she'd done that was nothing to do with Meghan, and Meghan had actually wrote her a letter to say I'm sorry that blah blah blah. It's nothing to do with her, but they said somebody left in tears. Stick Meghan in there. It just wasn't true. And the favourite one was he had done some, when they said, he's allegedly doing drugs. You know, they tried to do that thing about he's on drugs, but never had any proof.
Even though he did say, I was in coke all the time.
Well, they said, we know you've done drugs. We've got a thing. And he said, no, he just denied it. And there was no photograph.
He was smoking weed. He was in cocaine. Cocaine in clubs.
Surprise, surprise, because guess what? He's hanging around with a bunch of people who just do coke.
Exactly.
Well, no, just wealthy people.
When it turned out at Eton, they were constantly smoking weed all the time, constantly.
Well, because they're a bunch of teenagers. Yeah, exactly.
But he said, they said, we're going to release this letter. And he said, they haven't got any photographs, so he just didn't do it. And then it just went away, the story, because they were just, if you come and admit it. They said, the editor said, they're not going to print it, But if you admit to it, I just want to give, I want come in and speak to me, and I'm just going to tell you why it's wrong. Mm. But you've got to admit to it. So just, we won't put anything in, but come and speak to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
it's ridiculous.
Trump,
to be fair, always comes back to Trump. He just blew the door because he's just like, screw it, just I don't care. Like, yeah. Just print it. I don't
whatever,
give
yeah.
A shit.
More like, news articles.
Exactly, I don't care. Yeah, it's more publicity for me. I don't give a
people
shit.
People like it.
I have no shame. I have no shame. I've had it certainly removed. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's why. Like for when I was growing up, if that came out anyway, if the pictures came out, I'd be like, oh, good for Harry.
Human being, he's not a robot.
He's having a good old time.
Yeah. Robots can't do drugs. Yeah, that must be one of us. Lizards don't do drugs.
Looking like driving around like at Ray Liotta at the end of Goodfellas. Yeah. Just looking for helicopters.
Yeah, sweating.
It just made him more human, you know?
But so what they did is he had done, you know, they do charity things all the time. They're going opening up this and that. Mm. And he'd opened up a rehab center. So him and like a few people went down there with his mind was in there. And they edited out a picture of him walking in the door to the rehab and cut everybody else out and said, look, he's in rehab secretly. Mm. He said, but there was four other people walking in with me, but they cut it out with just him and his hand in the door with the rehab. Yeah. And they said, look, he's clearly a drug addict. Said, just that, not even, let's just cut the picture out. Stick it, yeah, that'll do. Not even like a bended, no, we know what we're doing.
Narrative, lied. Doesn't yeah. It?
Yeah. But he says a few things like, and you go, oh, right, yeah. So they're not bending anything. Like you think that's not legal. Just bun it on there. They're not allowed to argue back. I think what they call it, don't deny, what do they call the thing that they've got, the royal family? Is no comment, don't deny, you know, something like that. My thing coming away was the fact that there is no royal family. Mm. It dropped the name family. It's just a con. It's a business.
A different type of family.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. What was your takeaway from what you'd seen? What did you come across?
I think... For what he's experienced, he's come out pretty decent.
Yeah.
Like, he lost his mum when he was 12, and there was no emotional attachment to any of this family. He couldn't express his emotions. He couldn't talk to anyone. There probably wasn't any therapy around that. It was sort of, you know, walk behind the coffin and everything. There's just nothing to be like, you can let it out, you can cry. Yeah. And then, obviously, he had that defense mechanism of thinking that she's still alive. And then later on, obviously, his grandmother, the queen mother, died. And then his best friend, his childhood best friend, died in a car crash, which obviously, took him back to when his dad told him that his mum died. And that was 18. So to go through all that trauma and then go into the army and this, I think anybody would come out fucking crazy. Like,
and the fact that he chose to go into the army, he could have just lived it up, done the drugs, and
it's because he said in the book, he's just like, he would pick fights in, because he wanted to feel something, like he couldn't feel anything, you know.
Did you get to be where he dates the girl that he meets and they go in Africa?
Oh yeah, well Chelsea.
Yeah, she doesn't know who he is. She's grown up on like farmland South Africa, and like she doesn't. He said because that was the thing. He said, as soon as anybody had to speak to any girl, they're right, and they found out who it was. Their eyes would enlarge, and straight away he said she didn't give it to you. She barely knew. She didn't ask me any questions. Mm. But then there's a bit where she gets followed about, like the journalists are following her everywhere. And she calls up in tears and said, what the is going on? Yeah. There's people, like friends of friends, have got people outside their house. Everyone I know has got people outside their house banging on the door, asking them about
the bin.
And she said, I can't do this. Like, for everyone she knows has got. So she has to knock at an end. And that's what, again, the journalist thing. He's thinking, so that's gone.
I understand his anger against journalists and everything. Because obviously the car...
I mean, just the mum thing.
Yeah,
literally.
Because there was... When he went there, I think he asked the taxi driver. He said he asked the taxi driver to go through the underpass at 65 miles an hour. And he went through and he came out the other side and he was just like, was that it?
Yeah.
It was a tiny underpass. Yeah. Even if the driver had been a little bit drunk, he said he would have gone... He wouldn't have hit the wall if no one was chasing them.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Wills. I say Wills, like I know him. Good old Wills. Talking to Prince William and saying, and he apparently he did the same thing, went through the underpass to see what it was like. And just to be like, well, it's definitely the Paps and definitely the journalists and chasing them. And he said when he saw the pictures of his mum in the car, you know, pass away, he said that all you could see was like flashes on her face or flashes on the windows. So obviously the paparazzi were taking pictures of her when she was
Took, you never hear who and took just, those pictures, who got there and didn't think, let me get her out,
let me get her out, see if she's still alive, let me do
imagine seeing CPR. A car crash in front of you and then going,
well,
it's disgusting.
That's sociopathic. That is full on sociopathic.
She did walk away from it, I believe.
No, there's a famous photograph of her in the back out. Yeah,
with her sat on the pavement, basically.
But it'd be more.
She looked okay. There wasn't any visible injuries necessarily. I think she looked a bit shaken.
Jesus Christ! Like, pull a camera out.
It's just like,
are you okay? Nothing.
It's just like the human decency, the human thing to do is to go in and just try and rescue as many people, see if they're alive, you know, instead, oh God.
Well, I said before that the friend of mine worked at Stringfellas, his doorman there, and he said that, oh God, he was the one in 24, Keith, Kevin.
Oh, Keith the Sutherland.
Yeah, he was in there. I won't go into the story about him, but he was a bit drunk. Let's just say that. And
I showed you the picture of him jumping in the Christmas tree.
Oh, I think you did. Yeah.
He's like, cool, right. Everyone have a happy new year. Just turns around, jumps.
he was out of it. My friend was telling me, but he
had a bit of a rep.
They had to put him out the back door, and he got to the driver, went around the back because there was cameras out the front, and they put him to a Mercedes, and he said this huge guy with a camera ran, jumped both knees onto the bonnet. The bonnet just completely went in, and he's going, beep, 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 the camera.
Oh, my God.
And he said, I was looking at the car thinking, he's just ruined that. He didn't give, those people are out there, mate. So he talks about being basically harassed by two specific journalists at the end. And they get briefed about how much pictures are worth at any time through the year. Like they know £10,000 for any picture, £30,000 if you're doing anything weird. And it's like £100,000+. Yeah. And they talk about, they found that one of the neighbours, they would go to the neighbours of the house and say, can I put a camera on your roof for like £100,000? And he said, most people aren't going to turn that money down. And he said, but you've got a camera on your neighbour's roof because they're paying that sort of money, because they can pay their mortgage off with one photograph. And to imagine having that as a bounty on your head wherever you go. And he said, you'd have the two cameras, one would go up and push him, and the other one would be there ready to take the photograph. But what do you do? Like, someone's going to go and push you to start. And it's not £5,000. How much would it cost you? So you go, if you go and push that guy, you can pay your mortgage off. Mm. And everyone knows that. And you go, that's a big...
People swear at them and say weird stuff, outrageous things.
Well, one guy they just rammed the car and let us swerve to get round, just to get the folk to pay your mortgage off. Like, just that one photograph.
Disgusting.
And that's always there on you. There was one bit talking about where what is it? They're stag hunting. You see that bit?
Mm.
Where they go to do a stag hunt.
What, when is... He gets pushed into his face.
So they shoot the animal.
Yeah, literally has his face.
But he said,
pushed into the gut.
Force it right into
his face. It's a tradition.
But I don't think he can, like, from what he said. Just
saying, they shoot a stag and the guy he's with cuts it open, and he said, we have to go on our knees. And he thought, I thought we were going to pray. And he said, he just grabbed me and he forced my head into its stomach and he just held it there. He said, I couldn't breathe. He said, I'm just breathing in blood and guts. And then when he stood out, he said, my mouth was full of, nose was full of blood. And he said, no, leave it. You have to leave it. Let it dry. Now, if that happened in a council estate,
oh my God.
Child services.
Yeah, 100%.
I've just seen.
Yeah.
Have you any idea what I've just seen?
Someone's just shot a dog.
Yeah, someone's just shot a dog.
And then they're rubbing their 8-year-old's face.
I understand the hunting. And if you hunted a dog, it'd be different. But you've just cut an animal's stomach open and forced a child's face inside of it. Mm. And it's just like,
that's scarring in itself. But I think from what I like from the writing, it felt like he didn't come away. He came away proud, because it's like a sort of,
well, he's a child.
A rite of passage.
Yeah. It's a rite of passage,
yeah.
And obviously he's told it's a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage. So I guess in your head you're like, oh, okay. I feel, you know, I've become a man now. You know,
it's like an initiation ceremony or something. You know, when they
if you don't know any different, it feels. And but my point is, anyone else. You can't do that.
No.
That's a crime. That's going to be a crime. I've taken your son out. I've just shoved his face in a. Well, you're going to get arrested. But it's just like, nope.
You'd just be like, what, out of that context, you'd be like, why did you do that?
Yeah. Explain it to me.
What did you do that for?
Yeah, just do it.
It's just something we do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
No, it's tradition.
Yeah.
So we've got to do it.
Yeah.
There's a bit I just remembered. He talks about, think of this, again, talking about like an alien world where. This is one of the things he just says completely nonchalantly. He's talking about how big Sandringham is, where they are, like the Scottish. Is it Scotland? Yeah, Scotland. He says, he's talking about how big it is, right? And he says, yeah, you know, you could get lost because you go through one door, but then you get another door and now you don't know where you are. And he said, sometimes you'd walk in and you could see Papa, he calls him, because he's
Papa,
a modern.
Yeah. Papa.
He calls it Papa. And he says, he could, sometimes you'd be walking in and what he'll be like doing headstands because he's got a problem with his neck and he was told to do these headstands. Which I'm thinking.
Just hanging from the ceiling.
Just some 90-year-old doctor has
with
given
his cloak
him,
on, yeah, you know. It's just,
get a bat and a frog.
What an image.
Yeah. He'd be in the corner and he's cocooning himself.
But he says, sometimes you walk in, he said you could walk in and one day he'll be doing headstands and next thing, you'll just see him getting dressed by his valet, blah, 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 blah.
I was going to say, slowly dislocating his jaw and swallowing a caribou whole. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he'll sleep for 3 days.
Forked tongue. Yeah. But I think, hang on. So you're that means he's a dad at this point. You're walking in on him. And did you just say that your dad would be getting dressed by the valet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is a...
Yeah, and I think, hang on, he just breezed up. So your father is being dressed by another man. Could you not? I mean, what are you talking about?
He has someone to brush his teeth for him as well.
Yeah, well, that was the famous thing. They found that he has somebody that puts the toothpaste on them, like when that.
That's got to be really awkward. I mean, imagine. What do you?
I don't think he was actually brushing. I think he put toothpaste on the brush. They go in and do his toothbrush for him because obviously he couldn't do that himself. But just that, think of irony. I'm a man with children. And I've got another man dressing me. Dressing. Not like for an award ceremony. You just walk in, he's getting him dressed. Mm. What are you talking about? Another man?
Like every single day.
Yeah.
Well, you think...
Otherwise, you'd just be walking around in his pyjamas.
Think how delusional you'd have to be from a child. You don't know any different.
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah.
You've never washed a plate. You've never had the finest food. You've never gone to make your food. You've never put anything out. He said when they
never had to wait at the bus stop for half an hour.
he said
in the rain, just and you're late for work.
He says they bring in the newspaper to say like what's going on, and they bring it on a silver platter, like all the newspapers of what's happening that day. But I thought, think how it normally comes across.
Mm.
But he can't see any of this because he's only experienced this. So the food never washed, never had a vacuum cleaner out, never cleaned anything, nothing. It's just, and to think, what would you be if you just didn't? I was thinking, like, do they really know about what a homeless person is? Like, they would never go down a road with a homeless. They will always have a specific route that's nice and clean and held across. They would never see. But so are these just words that they hear?
Yeah.
Do they know about food banks that aren't just a food bank? Did you actually know what that is? You can't, because they're always going down held back crowds, clean roads, never stopping at any light.
And they just introduced to people
from birth.
Who smile and shake their hands, say, "Oh, hi there, right? Yeah. Oh, brilliant, lovely to meet you."
Well, they make that joke about. I wonder if the Queen just thinks England smells of new paint?
Yeah,
Because it's a joke, but you go, well, if you don't know any different, nobody's going to explain to you. So the fact that he comes out normal, you go, Christ, he's come from like off a cloud.
Yeah, so that's it. Like I'm so surprised he's come out.
Yeah.
Sort of normal. Sort of normal. I'm a bit of a dilemma because. When I've been growing up, I've always loved the royal family because it's, I don't know, I've been very British and I listen to the Queen's speech. Me and my family, we sit around and listen to the Queen's speech and it's all very nice.
Well, there's no reason not to.
Yeah,
why would you not if you've only seen good things?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's because you don't really read into, I was a child and as you're growing up, you're just like, oh, it's kind of like having your nan on the TV. That's how it kind of felt.
Yeah.
But then obviously when you start reading into it a little bit more and you've got Harry and Meghan and you're just like, oh, actually, okay, I do sympathise with them and what they've been going through. And
well, funny enough, when later on he speaks to his brother and he constant thing of trying to tell his brother, look, you've got to help me. Like they don't care. Like they're being what's going on. And his brother's just constantly like, we've all been through it. And it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And he says to him a bit, have you had they left the hospital. It was on Twitter, one of the newspapers on Twitter page. And it was her and him leaving the hospital swinging a monkey. And like, it's a funny monkey. And he goes, he doesn't understand. He's like, well, we've all been through it. He goes, no, do you not understand what they're doing there? It's not like a cheeky little monk. Do you not get it?
Yeah.
And he just doesn't get it. And there was type, they were, had each other's throats, like he was pinned up against the wall because they were fighting him. Yeah. About like, they said he couldn't, his brother couldn't comprehend what he was saying. So his brother was saying, look, I love you, but you've got to stop this. He had no idea. He just couldn't get into his head. It sounded like the brother was genuinely worried for his for Harry, because he was as if Harry was like making too much. It was, and he said, "No, you don't understand what's going on." And
super
he
said, racist.
I love you, and like I'm trying to help you. And Harry's like, "You don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm going through." It's like, it's like anything. You don't have that life. You're not going through what I'm going through, so you don't understand.
And again, the whole way through, he's just trying to get through to them, but it's just a wall of like. No, he said there's one bit where he wants to speak to them about like what he's going through and all that. And he said, I see my dad and my brother coming across the lawn. He said, I thought we were going to meet, like to have a chat. And like, I had a little smile on my face. He said, they were coming towards me shoulder to shoulder, just staring at me. And he said, my stomach dropped. He said, they just came to tell me I've got to stop being this and stop being that. Like there was no conversation.
There was one part in the book though that I thought maybe if Prince Harry sort of opened up to William a little bit more, because I think he was saying that his brother was trying to talk to him about his mum and he didn't want to talk about it even when he was younger, and then as he was growing up he didn't want to talk about it. And I think if he did talk about it when he was younger with his brother, I think maybe there would have been a bit more of
he talks about when he goes to school and they go to the same school and his brother's older.
Yeah, his
brother. And he said, well, at least I've got my older brother there. But his brother, like, stay away from me.
Yeah.
And you forgive him because you understand he's an older boy. He knows he's from the royal family as well. He just wants to be a normal kid. And here comes
if any brothers kind of go, they go, my annoying little brother's now come to the school. I wanted it to be just mine. And
I think it's not just that he's not like them, he's just one of those people that gets born in a certain family that's just an emotional person, like a soft emotional person, where his brother, if his Will had another brother like him, it would have been fine. They would have just bought into it and gone on normal. But the fact that you get the idea that this is somebody that feels things a lot more and he's sort of looking around constantly and just seeing these sort of stoic people everywhere and that's just made it worse. Then you've got the fact that he's gone with that woman and it's just compounded the problem, because now he's an emotional person that is dealing with serious things and they're just like, we're not seeing any of it.
Well, we joked earlier, but I mean this is a lot to do with him, you know, from very early age he was told he was the backup.
Exactly,
it's just one of the dimensions to the whole thing.
You're not really important unless your brother dies.
You are there,
and then all of a sudden, you become important. So, fingers crossed, your brother doesn't die, but you've just got to be on standby just in case.
Yeah. And now he's equally not as important because obviously
now he's had kids.
George, you know, in the line. So it's tough.
Well, and that's the thing is that basically it sort of freed him up. Once he got married and had kids and stuff, that sort of really did free him up to just be like, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing.
I imagine saying, like, obviously if my mum went to me, because I'm the second born child in the family, if she went, you know what, you're not that important. Your sister's the best.
But just explain nonchalantly. This is just the way you have to protect the throne. Yeah. That's all it is.
It's just it's emotional neglect.
As I said about the stories, even to the point where they want to attack him, we have to protect the throne. So you have to take the story. You have to let them write the story about you. Just constantly.
The spice must flow. Like, it just has to keep moving. Like, the money has to keep churning and everyone has to keep doing their thing.
We touched briefly on his school. So I looked up the school that he went to. Now, Charles, you went to private school, so don't you gritting your teeth. It was Wokingham. Ludgrove School in Wokingham. So it's
because
school.
He played us at rugby.
So you literally went to one of the... What school did you go to?
I don't want to say.
Oh, okay, well, I don't know.
Okay. But it closed. But basically, it's closed down now.
Right. So. Oh, was it one of those? Okay.
It was a boarding school, but it did close down because the Catholic Church said, we don't have any more money.
Right.
Yeah, cool Catholic Church.
Well, we've had to do a lot of payouts recently. Don't ask.
Well, they just saw a bunch of monks with a bunch of kids
just give
like,
them some
in a boarding
money.
School. Yeah. They're like, this what, is what was it ticking like? Time bomb.
What was boarding school like?
Did you know any different, or was it just like, oh, this is school?
Well, I went to like a, we're getting on to me now, but I went to sort of a mixed school, and then I went to a different school. Basically, that closed down at gym when I was about 15, and then the last 3 years went to a different school. I equate the first school I went to didn't really have a lot of boarders. The second one was basically all boarders. There was only two people who weren't me and another guy who weren't boarders in my entire year of about 120, 40 people.
Why would you have people that board and not board?
Because I live down the road.
Oh, it's not like you have to. It's just some people.
Well,
don't
it was most people did.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it was a weird thing. I equate it to basically just sticking kids in a ball stall.
Yeah.
For like 6 years, I don't think it's a very healthy environment.
Is it like for an amount of term? Is that the way you're away for term?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, but you're just there and you're just at school. It's like living in your job. It's like sleeping under your desk at work in the office. I mean, it's not like.
And you can't guarantee like who's looking after you if they're going to be nice. You know, the teachers or anything. You can't guarantee that they're going to be emotionally.
No one's looking after you. Yeah. That's the thing. Is you're just
the older boys.
Yeah. It's like being. Yeah. You just get. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have a bunch of 17, 18-year-olds just coming in and beating you up and taking your stuff and just doing whatever.
Or worse.
And, like, genuinely, there's, like, so it's like prison. Like, young...
No, well, it's balls,
young, yeah, it's young offenders. Yeah. And I just... I think it's a very healthy, unhealthy environment to just let children be raised by other weirder children, maladjusted children.
When the blueprints of who you are going, being laid down, the foundations, and you're going, right, we'll take away your parents, shove you over there, and there's some kids at 4 years older than you. They'll look after you because they're mature enough.
Fuck, they won't.
We'll let the sick form... Because that's what they did. I mean, they just let the sick form, you know, the sick form just... The prefects, whatever, just run the place.
The teachers are there just so they don't kill you. Like,
didn't really see them much.
Not really, even that.
Yeah, genuinely.
Well, I looked up his school anyway. So it's basically a preparatory school for Eton.
He came, came to our school and he had his arm broken at a rugby match.
So, I can't answer these questions about your school. Two
guys in dark suits.
Oh, I bet,
Were at the thing, you know, with the dark shades, or whatever. But, like, only two. You know.
Yeah. He talks about smoking weed one day up in the toilets in Eton when he's smoking out. And he said, like, I couldn't forget that I'm royal family because wherever I go, there's a bodyguard there and there's police outside everywhere, wherever I go. And he said, I kept thinking, I'm supposed to feel protected, but I feel like the protection's out there on my own where nobody can see me. He said, I feel like if I could just get over the security, I'd be fine out there. Nobody would know, but I'm surrounded by
this
wall.
It's like a prison.
But it doesn't make me feel
suffocated.
So it makes me feel there. So it's Ludgrove School in Wokingham, the boarding school. I was looking, so 20 prime ministers. This is right. I was looking at, we've had 57 prime ministers. 30 of them went to Oxford, 14 went to Cambridge, so there's 44 in all. Now, if you think about that as your leaders from two schools, like 95% of them have just come from that place.
Yeah, there's no variety of...
No, but so it says there's a system in place in the country.
It's not
about right or wrong. How can you have two schools for that one job?
Well,
all go there.
How can you have someone empathise on the other side of the...
We just want a bit more of a plethora.
But it's not a bit more. It's ridiculous.
Opinions and views and backgrounds. I was going to say, I swear when Tony Blair won that landslide in, well, not landslide, but a big victory in the 97 election. So lots of new Labour MPs coming in. So a big Labour victory. And even then, Parliament was about 58% of all the MPs had been to Eton.
Yeah.
Mm. Not even boarding school, but just one boarding school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so 20 prime ministers came from that one place. So I didn't realise the numbers. So there's only 200 kids that go there, but they've got 50 members of staff. So that's four. Is that four for...
It's like a special. That's
one teacher
like
for every four kids.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like a sort of... special school kind
of
thing,
it's like a nursery because my sister's just putting my nephew into nursery and it's just like one minder with every three babies so it's sort of like
classroom assistant or whatever
classroom assistant
so I thought okay it's
like one bouncer baby bouncer
so that's normal then
warned you you're out
And it's on,
I love your thought process.
It's on his school is on 200 acres of land. So
200 acres of land?
Yeah, the school. So 1 acre, a football pitch is 2 acres. So it's 100 football pitches of land. have you ever been to a football match and you've seen the pitch?
How do they need that much space?
because it's
there's only 200 of them.
So it's got 11 pitches.
Free range children. You've got to keep them healthy. The child zoo needs to be
royal kids.
Keeps on having to have a supply of children. Yeah. You know, they need to
let them run, let them breathe. Yeah.
And you want free range children. It's healthy. So, it's a better option. It's nicer for them as well. You know?
Let them go hunt.
So it's got a it's got a swimming pool.
Be hunted. Yeah. Sorry.
Be hunted.
Through the woods. Yeah.
It's got a swimming pool.
Hunger Games.
It's got tennis courts. It's got nine hole golf course and 11 pitches.
What a waste of space.
I mean, what the oh the
my
school.
Old, my old school used to have a golf course for some reason. Why
a whole golf course?
Yeah, well, no, I think it was only nine hole to be fair. But
and apparently
my school was just all concrete.
Yeah.
And we had this tiny little bit of like.
By the time you get up some speed, you've hit the other bush. Yeah. And Bear Grylls in 2021, just he's a former student there, opened up an exploration centre for 2.5 million. I don't know what an exploration centre is.
I don't think he does either. That sounds like a bit of a...
Yeah.
2.5 million as an addendum.
Everyone getting a handout there, yeah.
But, so what did I say it was? So 100 football pitches.
100 football pitches.
For a school.
That's ridiculous.
That's half an acre per child. That's a lot of roaming area per child.
It's like, where's Tom? Oh, I don't know. I saw him going into the bushes, into the forest a couple of days ago, and I haven't seen him since.
So he speaks about...
Imagine getting lost.
Well,
these poor children just like,
talk about getting lost. So
Bear Grylls in themselves.
I was looking.
I just think they have a wall with all the names of the fallen.
The
on
fallen.
It.
We just never just saw them again.
It's like the Vietnam War Memorial. It has all the missing as
all
well.
All the inbred children. Right, so
the ones that are left are just going to be prime ministers.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. It is like Hunger Games. Exactly. Yeah. Kill all the rest of them off.
Yeah,
and then you go into
so Ireland. When I read up the, because I couldn't get my head out, I had to look somewhere else to make sure I had the space right. I thought that is that amount of space, and so I was looking up the land that they own. So there's about nine castles, like specific castles that they own up and down, and they've got royal residences. Yeah. But there's nine castles.
Yeah.
So Balmoral has 50 bedrooms, 50 bedrooms.
Mm.
So bear in mind, this is one of them.
I can't even, that's like saying 50, that, you know.
And bear in mind, these aren't sort of pokey bedrooms. You can imagine what these are, Balmoral bed. Like these are big, you know, you're talking sort of 10-foot curtains sort of things.
I bet none of them are being used. Maybe like...
Well, that was much what makes me sick. So do you know how many acres it is, Balmoral is? Have a guess. Won't you have a guess?
Well, I mean,
so the school was 200
acres. The school was 200. Maybe like double that.
Balmoral, probably a lot, isn't it?
500, 1,000?
1,000, probably.
Bear in mind, I triple checked these everywhere to make sure, like even on the wiki page, on their page. So Balmoral, this is one residency for one family. 50,000 acres.
No!
25,000 football pitches.
Oh
that
my
is.
God.
That's one of them.
That's
25,000, 50,000 acres, 25. I tried to find a number that wasn't that, and everywhere was that number. 25,000 for one family. That's not a museum, that's their residency. So you can drive for miles. Like that's just forestry. And I even looked it up. So what did I say? So 50,000 acres. Bournemouth is 11,500 acres.
Jesus.
Bournemouth, which is. Oh, you know.
Get out of here, Bournemouth. You lose. Bye bye.
So 50,000 acres. Belfast is 28,000 acres. So bearing in mind, this is for one home.
Yeah.
25,000.
You're fitting in like a large metropolitan area.
That's ridiculous.
And I looked up some other ones. So the Sandringham, it's another one.
Yeah.
20,000 acres. So that's 10,000 football pitches.
Bloody hell.
10,000. So they've got. As I said, Bournemouth is 11,500. So put one house in the middle of that and times it by five, nearly, the space.
Mm.
One building for one family. Not all the add-on rules, that's there. For...
You get your steps in, wouldn't you?
Then Windsor.
Wouldn't you just not... If you had all that land and all those houses and all these rooms and stuff, you would just lose track of things. I don't know if you'd be necessarily quite attached. You maybe get more attached to one or two places that you liked, or
but they don't know any different. That's the thing. They don't know what space is. They don't know that they're what they think of space would be caged if it was us. Like they would see that as being caged to have a live on a street with people over there and people. That's caged.
I'd love to see a sitcom where they a real life, a better sitcom.
Let's get them and buy them in a council estate.
Development. Yeah. Arrested development. They lose all their money and they end up at the council estate.
Like Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. And just, I, oh,
Well,
yeah,
listen,
I haven't actually seen the rest of the development. So I was just like, something.
Windsor, one of the biggest buildings, but it's got the smallest amount of land.
Yeah.
It's only 5,000 acres.
Oh, Windsor. Dear.
So it's 2,500 football
bless
pitches.
Them.
It's their pokey.
And when you're in Windsor, it doesn't feel that big, but you realise a lot of these, like, you don't realise when you see the building, you don't know how far the space inside and how far it goes back because you just see the outside. So that's 5,000 acres, but 2,500 football pitches. So one of them's 25,000 football pitches. The other house they've got is 10,000 football pitches, and the Windsor one's 2,500.
Who lives in what?
I think, like, the Queen is one. That's her specific residence, and Charles, what?
The Queen doesn't have an official residence.
I mean, the place she calls home.
I was going to be rude there. Oh, it's great. Yeah, she's right.
I keep saying Queen, she's gone, so, but you know what I mean. You know,
she's in a box.
Yeah, she's also. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So Windsor. So it's 5,000 acres. So it's the smallest bit of land. 5,000. Mm. 2,500 football pitches.
I don't know. Yeah, don't they? Well, I don't know. They can
kind claustrophobic, quite claustrophobic. Mm. Do you know how many rooms they've got?
How many rooms?
Go on, have a guess.
Oh, where is this, Balmoral?
No, Windsor.
Oh, Windsor.
So it's only 2,500.
It's only 2,500.
No, that's the land, so the building.
So it's going to be quite small. It's like a cottage, really, isn't it? It's going to be a two-bed.
Within that one building. So they've got 1,000 rooms.
A thousand? Oh, that's ridiculous. 1,000 rooms. That's ridiculous.
That's the equivalent to a caravan in Bognor to them.
It's 300 fireplaces inside. So there's not.
As I said, it's just, you're just like, it might as well be 3 million fireplaces. I can't even comprehend.
You know what? Like, when I leave the house, I have to check that all the windows are closed. I think it's just me, like, I get, otherwise I'm anxious. All the windows are closed. I'm just checking the knobs on the oven. Imagine having to do that, like, check all the windows.
Talking about people keeping warm.
Or just be like, where's my phone charger? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, most of these,
I'll just order another one.
On the BBC's reunion, they go back and they speak to people. There was a Windsor fire, thinking like 78, something like that.
Windsor did burn down in.
Well, it was part 90s. Of the building.
Early 90s.
Yeah. And it cost 34 million to do this one part of the building because they had to rematch everything. Mm. And there was a big thing about who's going to pay for this bloody thing. And they ended up saying, we'll pay for half. But then they paid for it by opening up the to a museum.
Buckingham
come
Palace.
In. So people paid for it on the admission. So you know,
they let people go around Buckingham Palace and they charged whatever, 50 quid a pop. Mm.
But it was like they had to go back to like get people to study how to weave. And they were like, there were 10-foot curtains that are 15-foot long for the bedrooms like that. Mm. And it went on, and the carpets had to be specifically cleaned through this specific type of to recreate.
Well,
34 million.
No wonder they had a fire with all those fireplaces. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
Unattended fireplaces. No one's attending 300 fireplaces.
Did I turn that one off in 982?
I was in there two decades ago. Did I turn that heater off? Probably not.
Did I turn it off?
So Windsor, it's got 1,000 rooms, but 150 people live there in residence in terms of all the stuff they've got to do. 150 people to keep it going, 150.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's 1,000 rooms. So think how much empty space. And then you add them all up. And that's three of the buildings they've got out of the nine.
Mm.
And do you see what I mean? When you start to go, this is, like, demented. This isn't funny. You go to Windsor, there's a lot of homeless people in Windsor looking up at the wall, by the way. And I said I was there before. There's a restaurants around there. And when you see it, it's obviously a castle. I mean, it's a castle. We're not joking. That's a castle that people live in. And a little light went on up in the top. And I think, and it just humanised it. Because you see a wall and turrets.
This is where my charger is.
But I saw the light go on. And my brain was like, there's someone in there living in this bloody great big wall that you're looking up at. You can't see the top of it when you're at the bottom. And I looked at the three and I thought, I can't go through this, going through all the night, because they're up and down and some of them are offshore. I said, this is like sick. Like, this is like they're demented. They don't know. They're like delusional. They're not to, but all those rooms, out of the three I'm telling you about, the land.
I know.
25,000 football. Yeah. Your eye can't see that far.
Yeah.
And it's for one immediate family to do what they want and walk around.
They should open it up.
They don't care. Why should we do it? Because not even why should we do it? but we don't have to.
Shouldn't be. I don't want people like you. You're not the
Well, it's mine, and I don't have to, so why would I?
The only thing that's a positive out of that
is... You're going to say about the greenery.
Undisturbed nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, just... You
but
know,
a lot of these are just empty fields. It's not like just pure forestry.
I know, but there's still nature there.
What's interesting, apparently, is that our the operating costs, as they're called... are about twice it per person than per, even, you know, counting for the numbers of people in the royal family, but, like, you know, royal families in Denmark and Netherlands and stuff, and Spain, and the Scandinavian countries in particular, ours costs around twice as much, even, you know, take into account the numbers and stuff, as, like,
we just give them more than
Dutch, and they have a significantly more land and properties as well.
Oh, wow.
So that's the land dump. So I was just looking up, I said this was going to do this. So I looked up, I was looking up the gold coach, because when I saw, it was a Jubilee. That was what, the Platinum Jubilee, whatever that was. That's when I got a TV. I saw the coach come out, coach. Yeah. And so it's always drawn eight horse in front. So my eyes saw like a film or a fairy tale thing. Mm. But it was the fact that it was on the London street when it came out. That I just thought, what is going on here? They're not doing it ironically.
Wave at the poor people. Come on.
Blow them with them kisses.
See what they did when the Queen died? They had her going along in it, but they used the virtual reality thing. Mm. Did you see it?
No.
So it's like a hologram of her waving from like the 30s. So as it goes along, she's the hologram. They do
at,
it with...
At the funeral?
No. Yeah,
yes, I, bad taste.
I think it was. No, but I think, Jubilee, I think it was that. No, because it was... When she died, they used that old footage of her. So they placed a hologram in it and went down the road, and it was her waving.
That is pretty cool.
It looked all right.
It's like Tupac dancing on stage, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing they used.
Yeah.
But when I saw it come out, so it's 7 meters long and 3.5 meters wide. So it's huge with eight horses in front.
Mm.
But they're delusional. So they don't even know how offensive a golden coach coming down the streets. In what was you? Oh, I didn't say what year was. But, 2022. For the Platinum Jubilee. So the visuals of it was like, we're talking, this is the years when we were talking about food banks and things like that. And out you come, the streets have been parked for you, and you come out in a gold plated thing. Like, you don't know what's going on here. Like, you're sick, there's something wrong with you.
So removed from reality.
A golden coach, that should have been... Yeah. It was built in 1760. So, they've used it 260 times, I think, for special occasions. But somebody should say to you, we can't do this anymore.
Just off down the shops.
Just
get back of smokes. Yeah.
But the fact that they don't have to have somebody say, listen, you cannot do this anymore. You cannot wheel that thing. That has to be in a museum now.
Yeah.
You cannot bring that out with everything that's going on. After break, all that, that cannot, after the 70s.
Because it was built so, so many years ago and it's coming out now, then I can forgive it a little bit.
But if
they just made it now and they'd spent all their money on it now, then I'd be like, what are you doing? That is just disgusting.
But there's no class. There's nobody to say, that should be in a museum.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be wheeled. That's a golden coach.
It's a little bit crass, isn't it?
It's not
classy.
Because gold. Yeah. It's painted in gold leaf, I think it's called. So it's gold. The paint is gold.
It looks a bit, I dare say it, nouveau riche.
Yeah. It's Trump. This is amazing.
It looks like something a rapper might have. Just everything was awesome. And put like a Scarface poster on the side.
Oh my God, with hydraulics at the back.
Yeah. Well, just, you know. Like a cartel, you know, when they raid like cartel bosses' houses and they find they found this one.
Scarface,
dude.
Yeah.
And they just find this one
grotesque
dude.
Grotesque gold plate.
He had a whole room for Justin Bieber.
Mm.
And like an eternal flame with him and stuff, and they're like, all right, and loads of, and like paintings that he'd had commissioned of him with Justin Bieber, sort of going.
Well, on there are actually like very detailed murals on this. When you look at it, like, it's very ornate, and there are actual murals painted on the side.
But
of it.
If you'd have found that, if this is some kind of police footage of going around the cartel bosses, and they found that in the basement, you go, oh, that's a bit naff. All that money, no taste.
Nobody says like, we need to stop this now. You can't come out in that. There's no need. It's you got to realise the times have changed so much, and people are so poor that to come out in a golden carriage.
Yeah, no, I do get that. You know, there's some people can't even afford. Yeah. A for a pint of milk. And then he's like,
I think modernization. I think trying to remain relevant and modernizing is massively important.
Yeah.
I watched that coronation ceremony and I was just like, was just baffled. I was bored and baffled and slightly.
Well, the recent.
Slightly.
Apparently, it was just everyone was uproar about it because they spent so much money on it and it's just.
Well, something changed recently when Charles is being crowned because everyone suddenly thought that what he's wearing looks like a costume. Like, it doesn't look real anymore. It looks like this, like it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, the way they're dressed, all that gold and the crown, you go, this doesn't work anymore. Like, this doesn't work.
Yeah, they're anointed with the oils and stuff. It's all very symbolic, but like, yeah, guess what? We've sort of moved on a bit from the 1240 or whatever when this was first done.
Go on.
And bless them. As always, the Dutch are very sensible and do this much better. Their royal family has adapted and improved, you know, and sort of integrated into modern society. Queen Beatrix, bless her, she used to ride her bike just up and down and do things. Oh, they've all had jobs. Nice. I think she worked as a nurse as well. They've all had jobs. The current king, King Wilhelm, he was a pilot, I think, for KLM, Dutch Royal Airlines, for a while. And they've had jobs and they just lived and they got the bus. They just got the tram and you could see them around. They go to shop stuff and their kids just went to the school and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, and they were just around, you know what I mean? And they sort of a bit more normal.
Just PR people.
Can they do that? Are they harassed? Is the media a bit more like bigger for them? Like, because I guess it would be nice to kind of see Prince William on the bus with Kate, with the children.
Yeah, but other countries don't have that class system of they are better. Like, they don't have that.
But it's protection as well, though. Not. Like, I don't know, because obviously they'd be like, you know, people would be hounding them, it'd be paparazzi, you know. I don't think it would be as safe.
No, because no one gives a damn about the Dutch royal family. That's something. And the rich royal family, a bit, guess what? Like, no one gives a damn about, I don't know, putting you know, difference between Tom Cruise and whoever, you know, like someone off Corrie, you know. So, you know, they're fine to go down the pub. Tom Cruise probably isn't. So, and I get that. But, like, it's just a bit about, I don't know. But
being in touch with.
Yes.
A little bit, yeah. Yes.
And what comes off our lot is that the fact that they believe to their core that they are better, that they are the God's people.
They don't have to think about blood. It is the way it is.
Yeah, but God and my right, yeah?
Well, that's why I like, see, this is difficult, because that's why I liked Queenie so much, because she dedicated her whole life to it. Like, she...
From the book, and, I mean, people say, like, oh, she's so stoic, and she's thinking, that's not... You did nothing. Like, you didn't do anything. Saying, I've done nothing... I didn't get involved in anything. It's not something.
She is the Mona Lisa of politics.
They say that as like how stoic she was. You go, but she didn't. What?
She's a blank slate. Yeah. People just read into her different interpretations.
If you went, she went and did this, and she fought this, and she changed the thing. You go, but saying you're stoic is like you're twisting speech to mean a positive.
One time, she wore a slightly blue dress around the Brexit referendum.
Mm. Okay. Oh, so I was looking up because I thought they're really removed. They are the soft power there, but they're not allowed to actually affect certain things. But it turns out they are.
Yeah.
So I read in 2018 she vetted 1,000 laws before they got to Parliament. Like, they had to, it's not a legal thing, but it's just that's what's done. And it covered things like justice, social security, pensions, race relations, food policy, even down to car parking charges, which are all wonderful now, by the way. I'd say she sorted that out.
I believe that they've had amendments to 160 laws, exemptions. A lot of this stuff about employment laws, pension stuff, so that they actually have exemptions so that they don't have to do that.
Yeah, so she vetted a lot of the laws.
What's in it for us?
A lot of the laws were to do with her properties and anything deemed to be a part of her specifically. So that's going on at the time.
Anything that directly affects them in any way, stuff like, you know, zoning laws or whatever, building regulations, whatever, so they all had exemptions.
They found out that she...
I guess you would do, though, if it's your own family, you'd be like...
Yeah, but this is what I mean. So there's no up on a pedestal. Like, it's not like, oh, you're wonderful, you just sat there. You were doing stuff specifically. So they found out that... she used that procedure to persuade government ministers to change. There was a 1970s transparency law that was still loosely there, and she locked it down. Mm. So from then on, she could conceal her private wealth. She put that in place to just make sure that didn't come out. And she demanded exclusions from proposed laws resulting to road safety and land policy around her estates. So she put the kibosh on that.
That's what I mean. It's just anything that kind of remotely impacts them. They're like, nope.
And there's a thing that came up that so the RSPCA used to be the SPCA, the Society for Protection for Animals. Mm. Okay. But in 1840, they gave it the R, the Royal Protection, which meant they get the royal warrant, so they can go anywhere. They're like, sort of like the police. If they think it's a problem, they can go in anywhere. Mm. The only place they can't go onto is any royal land. That's the one exclusion. So they can go on anywhere animals are being hurt, but they cannot go on royal land. Hmm. Just that, again, just that was not an accident. That was just put in place.
It's a bit sketchy.
So, and the vetting the laws, which is, they're not allowed to actually do anything with the laws, but it's known that we just have a look at them and that one and that one. And that. So you're getting all this stuff, plus all the land. And I said, you have to take in them numbers. And then look at homeless people and look where you live and look what you do and look at what you abide by. And then suddenly the world seems a lot smaller. You suddenly see what you are to them. And then you think, what's the benefit?
Yeah.
Other than having a PR for the country, that's a nice thing to have queens. No, they sit on top of that country, one family, and forget all the other royal castles and smaller things. Mm. And you suddenly get this web of that sits on the country pretending that it hasn't got a lot.
Yeah,
but it's like this giant thing, even with its fingers in the proposed laws and changing things to suit yourself, that you go, oh, right, that was never sold to me. I was got the good bits and maybe there's some this and that. And you go, no, they're integrated in the entire thing. And with the land, you go, there's a visual thing you get. That many 25,000 football pitches for your house, your house. As far as the eye could see, drive for hours.
I think when Charles became king, I think his total worth went up to, I can't remember how much he inherited, but his total worth went up to about 8 billion.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, so the land, how many royal things?
I'm not even sure I think it was assets. But some of the land, some of the palaces and stuff, they do own, but they don't control. So they do have the ownership of it, but they're not... managed.
Well, that's how they get the you pay for stuff.
Because
we don't own it, you do, but you're not allowed in, but you just give us the money.
Because they sort of have a committee of people that they appoint.
A few people at the door. We own this, actually. Like, we're paying for this, so can I come in?
Taxpayers.
Can I go for a walk around
don't forget,
all your acres?
You literally do. Yeah. Like, but you just have no power. And they live in castles. I mean,
it's like if someone just made Elon Musk just a part of the American government and all his descendants forever. And they just had this weird position in the government where, oh, no, laws don't apply to them. And that's fine. And also, but he can turn up and like we'll have to bow and have ceremonies to him.
If you just keep doing it for long enough, then eventually you'll all accept it.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's just one of those things. It's just no one really likes it.
Yeah,
but
when you step back, you're just like, you're just like, why?
And bearing in mind...
My mind is blown by
bearing
life,
in mind... So. We,
I just think it's one of those things, if you start thinking about things, you're like... Because I did as well. I was very proud of our country and very proud of our royal family.
But they use that against you. They get you... But remember, we've just touched on a few things...
There is a
imagine
whole...
Imagine the whole thing.
Yeah.
Going back generations, police, investigations.
Yeah.
Everything, things getting closed down. The son, you know, getting accused of whatever, and they just give him the money, don't worry about it. I mean,
the fact that they're publicly now talking about, saying, oh, well, yes, they've got a roadmap to Prince Andrew being back on the head table at the wedding, metaphorically speaking. They're talking about a year and a half to 2 years.
Mm.
Yeah, they'll forget. Idiots.
But Harry, they're not letting that go. You know, he's the weather vane. He's like the lightning rod for all the abuse and hatred. But like, I'm just like, really?
Just forget all the Epstein stuff. Yeah. It's fine. It's all right. He can come back in.
The fact that he was using public money as well. He was going on jollies. That was when he was a trade envoy for Britain. And
jollies.
he was spending $1.5 million, $2 million for like 2 weeks out. He was getting flown and everything. And he was saying, oh, well, I'm doing this for the nation stuff. And he was going to visit a convicted child pimp.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was trying to get a guy
on public
here
money.
There was one of these protection officers that was out. Where did the Queen give him to live? It was one of the ones in London. I can't remember. It's two exits. It was one of the places that he lives in at. And the protection officer came out and wrote a book, and he was on the BBC One. And he said, when the interview's about him, he's supposed to come in through one exit, and he went round the other one. And because no one there, he rammed it with his Mercedes and broke it down. And he said, I saw the invoice. I said it was £8,000 that he charged to the public to fix that because he rammed it.
Oh, like, my God.
And he said he was nasty. He was disgusted. One thing stuck with me. He said, everyone has to be vetted that comes through those gates. They're the close security at the gates. Yeah. And they have a list of people. And two young girls come up. He said, they weren't underage. He said, they were young. He said, because I remember looking at the cars, they came up. But he had a lot of girls coming. And he said, they were drinking Coca-Cola, which I thought was made me think that they were young.
Mm.
And he said, they come and they asked to speak to him. And he said, we haven't got you on the list. And then she got on the phone. There was two police officers at that gate. And he said, they met. And he said, she phoned up to say, like, oh, we're outside, but her name's not down. And he said, give the phone to the police officer. And he gave it to the phone. And he said to him, listen, you fat C, if you don't let them down there, you're going to be doing blah, blah, blah. And he said, everyone could hear, because it was night. He said, the girls were embarrassed because he could hear him, you fat this.
Oh,
this is somebody who looks after you. He said, we had to let them through. And then we said afterwards, like, if anything happens, like, we're done.
Yeah.
And the girls would leave and they'd have to sort of drive them home in the police car. I said, but he was a fucking prick.
Because they have a responsibility to look after those young girls.
But he said, in calling him a fat cunt, he said he was a big guy, and he said, but the girls heard.
You went so far without saying it. You went,
but
and he said that like three times. And then
he says a lot of things like that. He said he just didn't give a shit. Like, he would be making things would be going on and he wouldn't tell them what's happening. And then they'd have to sort of chase around. And he just didn't. He was like a spoiled child because the queen, like, she was his favourite. So he got away with everything. But yeah, that story just happened. He said, well, he said that in front to scream that at somebody over the phone to get two guys. That's there for his security, by the way. Mm.
And then, you know, Harry and Meghan are over here getting all
two
persecuted.
Normal people just trying to feel in love. And then they're just like, hate.
They're over there hustling in America.
Mm.
I don't mind that. Like, whatever, you got to make money, fine.
Exactly. Well, how are they meant to
afford security? Yeah. Security says he had to phone up and get quotes for security. And he said, you basically need 24-hour security. And it said it's a minimum of $3 million a year. So you've got to come up with that every year for nothing else other than to not get killed.
Mm.
So think of that. That's the money you had to come up with.
So no wonder they're doing the book deals, the Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I
every year, not your hat, nothing else.
Yeah, I understand.
And the
that.
Only thing he could only pay because he had some money left over from Diana, like, left him some money. But I think it was like $6 million or something, like, which is just security. Yeah,
they just burned through.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure he has. Well, guess what? He's a royal.
Well, a house.
Well, yeah, but and they live in LA and Beverly Hills and stuff. I mean, they're living a very expensive, lavish lifestyle. They probably need to make $10-15 million a year.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, they said that the royal family as a whole. Sorry, they said their expenses are, I think, $128 million a year, which is.
I guess
that's your minimum. That's you breaking even.
So I mean, they could downsize and possibly go into a little village with you know a 3-bed house and have security, be able to pay for security, but you know, have like a very, I guess, yeah.
But the thing is, they don't need the
Duchy of Cornwall.
Yeah,
just move them all into the Duchy of Cornwall. We set it up, and it'd be like the Lord of the Rings set in New Zealand. You can go live in, and the little Hobbit town,
because no one's going to find
them. And they could pop out and go, "Oh, hello,"
because no one's going to find them there. Imagine they could
do tours and visits, and everyone could just go visit the royal family as they sort of potter around this little village.
Have a little donations box, suggested donations. Yeah.
Just let them do their little thing over there, and we can go. We can turn them into a tourist attraction.
But with everything that we've just briefly gone over. You realise it's actually quite sick. And imagine if you knew everything. Like, if you're not just what's out in the public, if you knew everything, like how much it costs, you don't know. It's just, things are so locked down that you don't know what's actually going on, what they're actually control of, the conversations that happen behind the thing, to do with the police. And like, she's got, she's got immunity, hasn't she? Whoever's the head of state has royal immunity, which means you can't touch them. Like, they could do anything and anything, laws, even civil laws to do with like their properties, you can't touch them.
Mm.
Like the head of state, which you go, why is that there?
Yeah.
You just mean for fraud, anything, you can't do nothing, civil or criminal, nothing. So technically, you could kill somebody.
Well, technically, and isn't also, I mean, there are no, there's no checks or balances.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that like...
Well, the thing is, because she owns the courts, so you can't...
He.
That's for he. So you literally can't, because you can't defend the thing that you... You can't be charged by the thing that you own. It doesn't...
Imagine all the dead bodies they can bury in all those acres of land that nobody can get to. Yeah.
He does mention in the book, actually, about the diamond, that when he sees the crown and the most valuable diamond in the world, it's like, come from God knows where. Yeah. Right, so last thoughts. We've gone on for a while. Anything? What do you think about the whole thing now? It is what it is.
It's not. It's awful. It is I agree with you completely. It is basically a sort of money-making scheme now. Mm. They are a very rich, powerful family who have who through history and whatever and, you know, circumstance have a position within the government and state. And they are clinging on to that for dear life because it affords them certain advantages and certain protections against, you know, law. And also, it just keeps the money going.
But it's,
their brands, their everything, it just keeps the money going. And that's all they're
I
really
think the new generations are not going to care about them as much. They're now waking up and being like, why do we actually need them? Yeah.
But eventually land has to get taken. You can't have the people crammed in more and more and more. And then just have these one family of masses of, as far as the eye can see, just nothing.
I still have a little soft spot in my heart for the Queen, and I think I always will, because...
I just don't know what she did.
I know.
Tell me what she did for all her life.
But I think
she did nothing.
She lived through the war. Okay? That's what my mum always says. She goes, she was there through the war. Yeah. She was like 12. And I was like,
Buckingham Palace got hit 9 times in the war, World War II.
Yeah.
A little hit.
But I think it's just a nostalgic thing of, you know, every Christmas and this. And I don't know.
If you didn't know who they were, and I said to you, there's a family over there, and this is what they got. You go, what are you talking about? Why have they got all this stuff? And bearing in mind, think about it, it's only land that was taken once because they had a slightly bigger army. People died so they could have that. It wasn't given to them. Mm. Whoever gave them it won it by killing people, and I take your land. And when you go far, so it's like if I took a load of a street now by war, and then just kept going and kept it there and kept it in 100 years. People going, oh, an amazing family. Go, no, they stole that. That wasn't, who owns that? Hey. Why do you own that?
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Britain.
Yeah, welcome to history. Britain.
Go to the British Museum. Yeah. Like, it's all, a lot of stuff, all stolen. There's an awful lot of stolen stuff.
I'm not denying that, that's
it's everything. Never about, even it, about getting rid of them, because you could keep them, but there's got to come a time where you have to go, right, you go there with that. This is all not yours now. Mm. And that's not going to come by voting. They're not going to give it up. Why would you? Yeah. So there's got to have, something's got to happen.
Well, that's the issue, is we're not even allowed to have the conversation.
Yeah. Mm. You know, well, you've got them, and the people that spread the news about them need them. Mm. So the media need them, and they need the media.
Yeah,
so
it's to just, keep them more relevant.
Yeah, nobody's, it's only really online stuff that would talk about...
Well, it's because that's why I'm saying the new generations aren't going to really take any notice of them anymore, because... I can't remember the last time I actually read a newspaper
but it's not taking notice. You could not take notice, but you've got to go, what are they doing with all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, we're not sitting here crammed in with, God knows you're going to start getting diseases spreading everywhere. The more we're crammed in, eventually you're going to have to turn and go, right, you lot, you're done. Yeah. You're not having all that. With one of their properties, you could solve housing. One property could solve the UK's housing problem. Mm. Just build properties on one of their properties.
Yeah.
And even that you could never do.
What about the immigration crisis, or so-called immigration crisis? They could solve that overnight. They just stuck up a lovely new building, accommodation building up there. But they won't.
So. No.
Well, me before, I was speaking to Will about how the French solved their royal problems. I think it was voting or something. Yeah, they voted them all out one specific day. Yeah.
Imagine if they did that.
No, that was a joke. There's a lot of guillotines involved.
Reform. Oh, is there?
Night of the guillotines. Like you said, we haven't got time for the voting. Right, so we've gone on for a long time. Mm. Poor old Will. Will, have you learned a lot? Mm. Yeah, you said yes.
Is that the stuff I did?
Where is he?
To?
Where's Will? Where's his bag? Is it on the door? So I think we know what it is. I mean, we sort of said it in jest, but we're sort of highlighting... It's not funny when you think about the people that haven't got stuff. Mm. But it hasn't changed my opinion. I didn't even realise about it. And I said, we've just glanced off of everything that's actually going on.
Yeah.
So that's that. You're off next week. What you said you had something planned next week, didn't you? It's going to be an interview.
Yeah, baby shower next week.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. Whose is it?
It's one of my friends from work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, where have you got to go far? Or?
No, here in London, Shoreditch.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ask her how many acres she's got.
how many fireplaces? She's in a two-bed flat.
Do you see what I mean? When you hear that now, everything suddenly goes, hang on, I can get 5 steps to each one of my walls in my house, and I feel like I've got it good.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, so that's the Royals, and it is what it is. Cool. Make up your own mind.
Next week, Russell Brand.
Oh, gosh. Right. I didn't know.
Anyway, so thank you very much, and we will be next week. We're probably with an interview, Charles.
Yeah.
Okay, speak to you next.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's your story. Let's begin. The world is fine. Come on, dive in. The future's here. It's right before you. You could be alive.